South Dakota poets embrace the freedom of free verse. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota has a new poetry collection. Our South Dakota, an anthology of verse, features 90 poets writing about everything from stalking wild asparagus to the farmer's mental health line. South Dakota poet laureate Bruce Roseland stopped by the SDPB studios in Sioux Falls to talk about the book and about his tenure as the state's top poet.
I've been to as many places in South Dakota as possible. I haven't turned down any invites. Sometimes my day job gets in the way of things or life. Last season, out of 21 different Poetry on the Road venues we went to, I made 20 of them. And the one I didn't make, and I promise, that was Lemon. And I promised the art council there that I would come this fall and do a separate thing. But that was during my calving season in April, and it was just a road too far from where I live, you know.
Calves have to be pulled.
Well, they have a priority, yeah.
How do you balance being a poet and a rancher?
Well, actually, I put them quite together. Being ranching, you're out, well, my goodness, you see the beauty of nature. Things just happen. I get a lot of inspiration out of it. You know, if you stay within four walls too long, you're pretty much just thinking internally, you know, or maybe in an abstraction. But when you're out in the outdoors and nature and you see life and death and everything else and just your daily routine, well, things happen. And it gives me a lot of inspiration for writing about them. A lot of my books are exactly that.
Yeah.
So I think it's been a good thing. I like going around and seeing other creative people. I like hearing other people, what they got to say in their own writings. I like being around creative people. I like being around people who do sculpture, painting, you name it. And I got a very broad definition of what a creative is. I know people who just do daily welding and they're creative in their own jobs. People find many different ways. And the thing of it is, if you do something over and over again for a long enough period of time, generally speaking, you might be critical of yourself, but you get good at it. Mm. So people find ways in their daily life. It's great to go around and hear what people got to say about their daily lives. And that's why I find poetry a very freeing way of coming to that point. Free verse, I think, has really, put it simply, freed us up to express ourselves and given us a manner to do so. Not everybody has it in themselves, and not everybody has the time to read a whole novel book or anything. But we do have time to write a page or two about something that strikes us, that we want to record, we want to remember, and that's what poetry is. And then share that. The important thing about poetry, it is shared. It is meant to be spoken aloud to other people and make this connection. Poetry is connection, and I think it's a good thing.
Tell me about Our South Dakota, this anthology. Take us through the story of this book.
I think from time to time, we need to take, stock of ourselves, you know. And I'd like to say that I think that Our South Dakota is much as an historical document as a literary document. The question that was asked of people was, what is your connection to South Dakota? And that's how we judge, that's how you got into the book, is what is that feeling, what is that connection that you have to South Dakota? So there's a variety. Nature is one of the very big one. Community is really a big one. There is something I like to read in here, and it's part of a bio, and I'm just going to take it off the last part of the bio. Childhood years imprinted expansive blue skies and rolling grassland, establishing lifetime's values, freedom and individuality and appreciation of community relationships. South Dakota remains home where the spirit of generosity, nurtured on the Great Plain, sustains my creativity. I am enriched in memories of small towns, opportunities, demonstrations of work ethics, independence, and experiential learning as a way to live a meaningful life. And I think this one particular bio kind of sums up what a lot of people touches. South Dakota is a connection to folks. And folks, when they have that connection, a lot of times they try to express it. It may be in our conversations. A poem is a written conversation to our community, our family, as to what a particular moment meant to ourselves and to them.
Tell me about getting the submissions in and sorting through them. How do you and your co-editors here make decisions about what got in the book?
Well, number one, it had to be connected to South Dakota in some ways. There were a number of people who sent stuff in that was great. It was beautiful, but there was no connection to South Dakota. Then it had to be good. Even at whittling things down, we started at 125 individuals, and most sent in three poems apiece. That's all we asked, was three poems apiece to kind of cut down our cut down the amount of time it would take to go through them. Not that there isn't a lot of good material out there. And then try to get as wide of expanse of all the various diverse voices that are in South Dakota so we could hear all the diverse voices. We had a retired professor who was from originally and still a tribal member of the Cheyenne Eagle Butte, Jerry Gutwin. And she was our go-to person to make her connection to the Native American population in South Dakota. And I was very pleasantly surprised going through and after reading the bios, there's about 20 folks out of the 90 who have either are Native Americans or but a very direct connection to events or the culture of Native Americans. That I feel really good about because we definitely wanted to catch a diverse. We got rancher wives in here. We got retired folks who been in the School of Mines. I can just go on and from all different corners of South Dakota. Now, saying that, the bulk of the folks, you could kind of put them in four different areas, well, three actually, the Black Hills, Sioux Falls, and the Brookings area. For some reason, the Brookings area has a large number of people that do quite a bit of writing. But saying that, there's people from all over. One of my most favorite poems in here is from a lady who wrote up at Sisseton. She wrote about her connection to the lake she lives on, which is Enemy Swim. And the community and everything, and saying, this is how I'm connected. And that's the kind of poems we looked for.
So when you say a historical document as much as or more than a literary document, is that what you mean? Is that people are talking about what's happening right now, their connection to Lake Enemy Swim, their connection to their daily life on the ranch or their daily life in a tribal community or in the city of Sioux Falls? Say more about the historical part of this. Like, what makes this a historical document to you?
The thing about the historical part, we don't understand historical until we look back. I have to go back to my own formative years. I went to Brookings. I saw the Harvey Dunn paintings. And Harvey Dunn went ahead and painted a certain slice of what it was like in the settlement of South Dakota, the European settlement primarily, I remember looking at those paintings, and they were just up in the South Dakota Art Museum at that time. They made a big impression on me because it was like, okay, this is who we were. This is who we came from. Giants in the Earth, I read that. When they were written at those time, they became kind of classics, or the paintings of Harvey Dunn. And it isn't looking back that we realize this was, you know, something that was needed to be recorded, because people pass on, times pass on, and we lose that direct connection. So what is in here that will strike future generations, I cannot tell you, because I'm not in that future generations. I only know that unless we collect those impressions of now, they will be gone, they'll be lost. And these are just regular folks, a lot of folks that probably would not have been heard unless they were gathered up in this book. That's what I feel is one of my missions, is to help gather up these stories. And then they're like letters. You send them into the future. And we never know that. That's the same thing. You throw a bottle out into the ocean. Have no idea what shore that's going to end up on. And that's the same thing. Somebody will read this someday and they're going to go, oh. So that's the way it was like. You know, whether in their personal life, a lot of people write something that was very personal or about their family. History is a strange thing. We do not recognize historical times until they're past us. Mm. My contention is we're always living in historical times, you know. So that's why we need to record it in any manner possible. If people are using films, paintings, songs, whatever, that's how we send something into the future.
Will you read for us from the book something that you've written?
Okay, sure. Moonshine. There's always something mystical about a sky lighted by moonshine. Stars are present, but gentler. Clouds floating across the night sky are a translucent white. The moonlighted earth can be traveled about without need of any additional light. I have stood in the middle of my yard and read a newspaper by moonshine. When was it that we became afraid of the dark like death, hiding in our cities of light? In doing so, we lost that half of the night that is moonshine. With the full moon upon the countryside, it's easy to imagine walking out, striding over the land, disappearing into the shadows to find the mystery that you know has always been on the very edge of your life. Find a road. Follow the moonshine.
Bruce Roseland, South Dakota Poet Laureate, thank you so much for that. Thank you for this book, Our South Dakota, an Anthology of Verse.
The cover of the book is interesting. I wanted a map, to put a map of South Dakota on the cover of the book, but every map I looked at looked clunky. So when I was at a poetry reading at the Muddy Moe's in Yankton, which is just across the bridge.
South Dakota Magazine's Muddy Moe's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there, high up on the wall, had a piece of plaster have fallen off. You know, it's a 12-foot wall. And my publisher, who was with me, Steve Boynt, said, I think we have solved the problem of our cover. And we asked them about it, and they said, well, that had just accidentally fallen off the wall, and they were going to refurbish it. And they decided just to leave it the way it was. So that stylized, but it's the brickworks of one of the oldest buildings in South Dakota, in Yankton. Yeah.
So, in the shape of South Dakota, with a little chalk river drawn through it.
Well, I think that was mortar. They were trying to seal a crack. So it ended up looking like the Missouri River.
It brings to mind the Missouri River and the state of South Dakota.
It brings to mind the Missouri River, yeah, it did. And then one other thing is that when people read this book, read through the bios. These are your folks. Mm. These are the people of South Dakota. These have been touched by South Dakota, and they want you to know how it is that they feel so privileged to be living in this great state.
Bruce Roseland is Poet Laureate of South Dakota. The book, Our South Dakota, is available now on Amazon. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you from all of us here at SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.